Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my fourth day this week that I've been teaching on how to fulfill your destiny. And I tell you, this is something that really gets me excited, because every time I go to thinking about how that God has a purpose for my life, God is interested in the way things go. It's not up to me to just live my own life, but God designed me and created me with a purpose. And when you believe that and you find out God's purpose for your life, then there starts to be a supernatural flow of power and anointing to help you fulfill what God called you to do. There isn't such supernatural flow and anointing to help you do your own thing. And brothers and sisters, I really believe that this is one of the reasons that many of you who are born again are frustrated, and it seems like that you're swimming upstream and that it's just so hard, and why aren't things working out better? It's because you may be born again and you may love God and have a desire for your life to glorify God, but are you doing what God has called you to do? There is a supernatural anointing and peace that flows when you are doing what God has called you to do. I don't know how to describe that any differently. But this is what I've been trying to talk about. The very first step in fulfilling your destiny is to recognize it's not up to you to pick and choose and do your thing and then ask God to bless it. This is what so many people do. They choose their own mate. They choose their own vocation. They choose their own future, the place that they're going to live. They just do everything on their own. And then, oh God, we ask you to bless this business. Well, did God call you to start that business? Is this what God has for you? Oh God, we ask you to bless this marriage. That is not the way that God intends for your life to operate. God wants you to seek Him. I couldn't tell you how many times I've dealt with people who the Scripture says very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you can make application of that to business, to friends, to all kinds of things, but we apply it a lot to marriage, and it's obvious that you are not supposed to be unequally yoked. You aren't supposed to be married to a person who doesn't share your core values about God. Now, some people get born again after the fact, and so, you know, God can turn that around, and I've seen that happen hundreds of times. But I've talked to Christians who just ignore what God said to do. They go out and marry a person just because of the way they looked, which, you know, I'm not saying that anybody wants to go marry a person who isn't a nice-looking person, but looks are going to change. You know, if you stay with the person for 50 years, they aren't always going to be the beauty queen or the captain of the football team. After a while, they're going to get that chest of drawers disease, amen, where their chest is done drop down into their drawers. Or they get the Dunlop disease, where their belly is Dunlopped over their belt buckle. And if all you did was marry a person because of the way they looked, you know what? Your feelings and emotions are going to change. And then here you are, oh God, please help me to... And your marriage was never based on anything except just physical, natural stuff. That's not the way to do it. The Lord says, don't become unequally yoked. And I have counseled hundreds, probably thousands of people who have done things their own way, violated God's laws and prescriptions, find themselves in a train wreck, and then, oh God, fix this. And you know what? Because God is a loving God. Yes, He can make things work out, and He can even make His second best look like it's better than the first best. I've seen people who were totally incompatible with each other, and as they turn to the Lord, God can recover and make that thing work. But I'm telling you that there is a better way than you just doing your own thing and finding out that you're in a mess. You need to find out what God's will for your life is. That is so simple, but it's profound. And most people have never gotten there. So this is what we've been talking about. And I've been trying to stress that every one of us, not just an elite few, not just ministers, not just people who are going to change the world. Every one of us were created by God and designed for a purpose, and you have to find out what that purpose is. And you know, here's another good truth, and that is that the Scripture says over in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, I won't take time to turn over there, but it says, God has revealed Himself from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, being witnessed by all of these things. I forget the exact wording, but the point is that there is this intuitive knowledge. It's like a homing device that God placed on the inside of every person, drawing them to Him. And I believe that you can even extend this to say that there is an intuitive knowledge on the inside of every person that either grants them fulfillment and a sense of satisfaction and peace, knowing that I'm with God where I'm supposed to be, doing what God called me to do, or God stirs up a holy dissatisfaction. I'm not talking about depression and terrible things, but there is just a holy dissatisfaction that accompanies being out of the will of God. And I think that there's a lot of people who do their own thing. Their life is already moving in a direction. They get born again. They love God. Their eternity is secure. But there is a holy, God-given dissatisfaction with the way your life is going, because God has something more. And so you're praying and trying to get God to change this, and you can't figure out what's going on. And you are at a loss. I'm telling you, one of the reasons is because God has something more for you. You know what I want to do with the rest of our program today? We've got this Destiny series that I've told you about. These are five testimonies, miraculous testimonies, of how God has changed people's lives and they found God's will. And I'd like to take the testimony of Russ and David Forgeston. And David now has married Judith and they have a little baby. But I tell you, this is a tremendous testimony. And I'll let them speak for themselves. But let me just set it up by saying that Russ has known since the very beginning that there was something more. He went into Judaism. He went into Eastern religions. He went into New Age stuff. He was actually a teacher and an instructor of New Age things. He went to India and sat under gurus, always looking for something else. But he finally came to the Lord, came to our Bible college, and his life, the life of his son, were totally turned around. And now they are in India and they're opening up a Charis Bible College in Chennai, India. And I tell you, it is just a powerful, powerful testimony. And we interviewed them, and they are giving their testimony of how God had a purpose for their life and how this turned them around. And I think that this will be a real blessing to you. So I'd like to play just a portion of this. It's about a 22-minute interview with them, and so we aren't able to put the whole thing on our program. We're going to play about 10 minutes of it, I think, or so today. And then I'll come on at the end of the program and make some applications and close the program. We'll continue this on our program tomorrow, but it'll be a blessing to you. So watch this, and I'll be right back after this DVD.
Since I was 16, I have been really looking for a relationship with God. I really first sought God in the Jewish religion, since I was born Jewish. From that point, I started reading books about metaphysics. And I really started getting very interested in Hindu mysticism.
He was always wanting to be in relationship with me, but a long time before, I had pretty much written him off. It really started in high school. I was doing a lot of just drugs and drinking and being a pothead, and I just didn't know what anything else was in life, what else to do. So I found my little niche and I got pretty good at it. I was just a big pothead, and that kind of opened up some doors for me to start selling some pot, and all of a sudden I made some connections. And before I knew it, I had found myself driving across the country, buying duffel bags full of pot, dealing with tens of thousands of dollars, and just living the crazy life that you could imagine that goes all along with it.
I had gone to India. I wanted to find a guru. I spent time in some ashrams there. I saw some supernatural things there also.
For me, it was always needed more, never satisfied. Like, I was the guy at the party at the end of the night that would keep on saying, let's smoke another bowl, let's drink another beer, and let's keep on going.
I came back from India, and I moved out of Hindu mysticism and started getting interested in New Age thinking.
I never knew what I was doing. I was in, like, identity crisis.
I was really still involved in worldly things. I was married. I had children. I was a chiropractor. I was really seeking God. But it was really many years later that I really started to find the one true God.
Well, my dad had always talked about God. He was a real spiritual guy. He was into the mysticism and things like that. And I thought that was cool. And I thought for myself, one day I'm going to kind of follow that path and I'm going to find out the truth. You know, I'm going to travel around the world and see things like he did, because he told me stories about going to Africa and India and all over.
People were talking to me about Jesus, but initially I was really not interested at all. But after many years, I started to really feel like I ought to really check into Jesus. I met someone who became a dear friend, and she was Christian, and she was such a loving person and such a generous person. She gave me some of Andrew's tapes, Andrew Womack's tapes, and I started listening to him, and it just started resonating. I would just hear the examples that he gave, and I just really believed that he was experiencing this. And I started to really feel I could experience God too, and I could have a relationship that he was talking about. And that really stirred me.
One thing I remember in high school was my car was in the shop, and I borrowed his car one day, and me and my friends were driving around in it, and my friend found a Bible in the back seat of his car. And I was shocked, like, what is a Bible doing in my dad's car? So when I got back home, I asked him about that, and I told him, you know, and I asked him about it, and he said,
God is real, and that Jesus is the Son of God.
And I was just totally shocked, like, how could he have done that? How could he have sold out to some religion?
In those time periods, I was just telling him about how my life had become transformed by God's love.
He didn't get nervous anymore like he used to. And he used to have a lot of anxiety and things like that. And there, he just had peace. And there was something different about him. I couldn't put my finger on it.
We would still have a lot of fellowship, but he would always, we would meet for dinner or for lunch, and he would quickly want to leave.
I was always busy hanging out with my friends all the time, and you know, but I kind of felt bad for him, so sometimes I would, but I'd always be itching to get out. But after some time, it was like, I started opening up to him, and I started telling him about my life and the deal in drugs and the big, you know, entrepreneur I was becoming, and he just sat there and he listened, and he was interested. He really, I could tell it, he really cared about me.
He really started to spend more and more time with me. Instead of going in 20 to 30 minutes, we started having lunches and dinners that would last for 2 and 3 and 4 hours.
And after some time, I started sharing more of the problems, and he was just giving some wisdom. Good, you know, he wasn't preaching at me, but I could just tell that he knew stuff I didn't know.
And he was just seemed to be fascinated by what I was talking about.
I believed him because he was my dad. You know, I knew my dad would never lie to me, even though I couldn't totally relate. Something was really happening. I could tell something was changing. And I remember going afterwards to party with my friends and telling these wild stories. My dad's talking about seeing people's blind eyes getting opened and people getting healed. And we all just laughed hysterically, and it was all kind of fun. But to me, that something was happening. I could tell. I was starting to think about it. I was starting to think about God. I was just sitting in my living room one day, and I received revelation. I knew that Jesus was Lord, that He was the Son of God, the Bible was the absolute truth. It just came. Like, I couldn't explain it. I just knew that I knew that I knew, and I was so excited about it. The very first thing that I really realized that afternoon was that God had a plan for my life. When I went to sleep that night, I remember laying down and for the first time ever, just feeling safe. For the first time ever, I felt totally secure. Like I was just laying there, looking up, just thinking, God, thank you. I slept so good that night. Next morning, I woke up, just got ready for school, just like normal, get in the car with my roommate. We're headed to class. We had 9 o'clock classes. And I reach into my pocket for my pack of cigarettes like I always do, and I just looked at them and threw them out the window. I don't think I'm going to smoke a cigarette. I think I'm done with these. You know what? I think I'm done smoking pot and getting drunk. It was real. It was totally real. From that moment on, I never got drunk again. I never got stoned again. I was totally set free. After that first class, it must have been by now about 11 o'clock. So I called my dad, he was at work at the office, and I told him, Dad, I believe in Jesus.
This is a kid that I'd always loved, I'd always had an emotional connection, but now I had a spiritual connection with him also.
My dad came and he bought me a Bible, and he gave me this Bible, and then he gave me probably 5 or 6 tapes from Andrew Womack. And I never heard of this guy or anything about it or didn't know any of that stuff. He just said, this will really help you. I just started listening to those tapes. And Andrew was just, every word he said was just, yes, this is true.
He left college. He moved away from the drugs and the alcohol that he had been involved with. He came back to live with me.
I heard Andrew say that he used to read the Bible all day long, every day, that there was like a period of time, maybe when he was in the army or something, where he just sat and the book was in front of him day and night. And so I just thought, well, what am I doing? I need to do that too. I need to read the Bible. I need to find out what it says. I need to find out who God is. This is the key to everything.
He just basically spent 10 hours a day in his room for several months just studying the Word of God.
That's what I did for about 6 months. I just listened to those tapes probably two or three a day, and then I was reading the Bible the whole rest of the time, and I was just growing and learning and going on and on, and it was really good.
He wanted more of a relationship with God, and I said, Andrew Womack's Bible College, that's where you need to go.
And it just made sense to me, like of course I have to go there. I don't really know exactly when, because I'm sure that this is really good. I know I'm learning a lot. I'm getting the Word. I'm starting to learn the books of the Bible. I'm starting to see whole messages. It's all coming together, and I'm really growing in that. And one day I was just walking around the lake where I went sometimes, just praying, stopping, reading the Bible a little bit. And it was just so clear to me, go to Karis Bible College.
And so he planned that right away, that he wanted to go there.
So I just called my dad up and told him, I'm going to Bible College in August. And he said,
I want to go too.
Praise the Lord. I know that blessed you. You know, this has really touched me. Of course, I saw Russ, the father, back when I first met him. He was he had a little ponytail going down his back, and nothing wrong with ponytails, but it just, you know, it was so counterculture. He had been into all of this New Age and all of these things, and I have seen God. He has literally come to know God. And when he came back, we've ordained him and his son. And I tell you, the things that God is doing through them, you won't be able to get the full impact of this until you see the second part of this on our program tomorrow. But where they came from, where they are now, and where they're going is absolutely amazing. And by their own testimony, it started when they started seeking. And of course, you heard David's testimony. David just amazes me. I mean, it's like he can't talk without a smile on his face. He has just got a constant smile. But when you see where he came from and what God has done and to where he is now, he's got a lot to be smiling about. And you know, the same thing that happened with Russ and David, and on the program tomorrow, you'll hear how that when they came to our Bible college, that David found his wife, Judith, and she came from Switzerland over here to our Bible college. And now they got married in Switzerland. They went to Africa, I believe, on their honeymoon, and now they're in India. It's just amazing what God does with people, how he takes them and puts them all over the world. People's lives are being changed. There's miracles that have happened that we didn't have time to put on here, how they got to India, and you'll hear much more of this. But my point in showing this is to try and demonstrate that what I'm saying is not just theory. It's working in my life. It's working in the Forgestons' life. It's working in the lives of hundreds and thousands and millions of people. And brothers and sisters, God has a purpose for your life. You know, your life is meant to be supernatural. God's plans for you are better than your plans for yourself. If you really tap into God's purpose for your life, you may not ever get on television. You may not do something that is going to catch the attention of millions and millions of people. But in your world, in that realm where you have influence, it'll make a difference in people's lives. There will be people that'll be transformed. There will be people that will experience the love of God, and things will happen if you'll just commit yourself to finding out what God's will for your life is. And you have to initiate this. God has a plan for your life, but you have to seek it before you find it. You have to seek with all of your heart. And so I pray that this testimony by the Forgestons is an encouragement to you. And again, I want to remind you that this is only a portion. We're going to play the second half, and in the second half, you're going to hear some miraculous things about how God moved upon them to reveal how he wanted them to go to the other side of the world, to these cultures that are just totally foreign from ours. They're leaving luxuries and family and friends and all of these things. And you know, in my estimation, I think that the Forgestons, and you're going to hear other testimonies as we go on through this series of people that are in Russia and people that are just going to the farthest corner of the earth, Uganda and other places. These people who are doing things like this, I believe that these are the real heroes today. You know, some of our magazines, these things on television will present people who are movie stars or people who have some athletic ability or something like that. And they pump these people up and they are the ones that go on the magazine covers and get all of the credit and people want to be like them. And we give them millions and millions of dollars for their services. And to a lot of people, those are the heroes of today. But I tell you what, those people, if you put all of their integrity into a thimble, it'd be nearly empty. God doesn't evaluate things the way that people do. I think that people like the Forgestons and people just like you, if you would turn your life over let God, he would show you his purpose. And those are heroes, people who lay down their life to be able to bless somebody else. It would help you. You know, we have materials available, not only this DVD that has the Forgestons' testimony on it, but I also have my teaching on CD form about how to fulfill your destiny. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you information about how you can get all of these materials, and then make sure that you join me again tomorrow as I continue this teaching, and we will show the second half of the Forgestons' testimony about how they are fulfilling their destiny.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these destiny stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the CD album titled Everyone Has a Destiny is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Anna has a heart to reach the lost, but she needs help getting started. Sean feels a call to the ministry, but he also feels unprepared. Ben and Maggie have been Christians for a long time, but in their golden years, they want a deeper relationship with the Lord. Are you like Anna or Sean or Ben and Maggie? If so, take the next step. Call, write, or go to our website and ask for the Charis Bible College brochure and DVD. Andrew Womack founded Charis Bible College to help you discover your destiny. There is joy and fulfillment awaiting you, the kind that only comes from knowing you are doing what God created you to do. Take that first step today. Call, write, or go to the website and ask about CBC.
I really dislike religion, so much so that God has placed me in a country where it is so prevalent. It just chokes people, you know, it just chokes the breath out of them. And they're just lying there wondering if God loves them.
My first trip, I'd been there 7 months, and the Lord had asked me, how long will you give Russia? And I remember thinking, I want to go to the other nations, Lord. I mean, really, the nations are on my heart. I don't want to be stuck in Russia my whole life.